This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, Georgie, check for Dadsy. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery free and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Leicester City have a penalty kick in the 6 minutes of injury time.
Knockout takes. Almunia saves. Knockout follows in. Almunia saves again.
And now Watford are on the counter-attack.
Forestieri.
You're listening to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast. I'm Justin.
I'm Carl.
And I'm Peter.
And it's been a while since the three of us got together and had a bit of a chat and took some questions from social media. Shall we dive straight in? Do you want anything in particular first?
Go on.
We'll start with Gary at Vinyl Music. Brace yourselves.
All right.
Can a fan have an opinion on a game if they have watched it on TV? It seems recently, if there's been a difference of opinion, TV fan a bit negative, the fan at the ground with a positive opinion comes across as their opinion is the only one that matters because they were there. I think we know to whom we are referring, and I don't think there's any need to name names.
Oh, I don't think there's any problem doing that. That's fine.
We've always said, if you're a fan and you've got an opinion, that's fine. If you come onto Spaces, a quick note on Spaces. You don't have to get involved if you don't want to. You can get involved if you want to. We've never forced people to get involved. We've never said to people, you can't get involved. If you want to come on and have a word with us after a game, it's fine. We realise that emotions are running high after a game. That's when we choose to do them. That's what we do. But please, let's all be nice to each other. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway, to the original question then, I guess we're all in agreement that if you do watch a game on TV, your opinion is still as valid as someone who went to the game, right?
Yeah, I'll wade into this one. I think if you watch it on TV, you probably see more of certain things during a game than you would necessarily at the ground. I don't think that you can... I'm terrible for saying people I work with, Arsenal fans, allegedly, never been to the Emirates in their fucking lives. But I'll talk to them about football. But in terms of somebody having a difference in opinions because one's been to the game and one hasn't, come on, really? I think different things. I'll go to a game and watch the highlights back. And my wife will say, why the fuck are you doing that? Because you've been to the game. You've already seen it.
Yeah,
true. But I want to see it from a different angle. I want to see it from there. So I don't know. I think it's a bit of a storm in a teacup, that one.
Yeah. I was in the middle of the thing. So, let's face it. This is Greg. This is Wendover, good friend of the podcast. No problem. And he came up. Let's backtrack a little bit. Let's go back, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes. Greg is indeed in the stadium, as with all of those other Watford fans who go. And we always call out, brilliant for travelling, because you are there, you are supporting the team, you are making a fundamental difference. There is no problem with that. However, I think I'm not wrong in as much as Greg, I believe, was pretty much butted up pretty close to the Southampton fans. We bought it back to 2-2 and given them loads of shit, such as 2-0 and you fucked it up. And everybody was giving it large. And of course, we know what happened. Was it a free kick? Who knows? Was it a corner? Who knows? Certainly not the ref. Was it a handball? You would think so. And it goes in. Is he pissed off? Yes, of course he is. It rings in. He says, we have always said, this is about your opinion. Whatever your opinion is, you can come on and say it. And he said, I think that there's too much negative opinion from people who are sat on their sofa. That was the thing that kind of caused me to go, hang on, because I personally value people wherever they are. But I do understand his level of disappointment at that stage. And I also do understand his level of trying to, shall we say, offer a balance. Now, he does do that pretty much not vocally. He does it pretty much on his own. There aren't that many people who actually come on and go, I completely agree with him. He may get lots of, and you may see stuff on Twitter where people are agreeing what he says, but he does, on occasion, he plows a lone furrow in terms of trying to offer a bit of balance. I'm not going to have a go at somebody about that. I'm not going to have a go at, let's call it Uncle Ron, for being negative. These two guys actually chat and talk to each other and are good, affable, even though they have completely differing opinions. Now, I appreciate that we are in a way guilty here, because if you look at social media and go, oh, it's all a bit clickbaity. The difference that we're trying to do is make this a conversation. The people who come on the show and say what they think, they stick their head above a parapet and it is there for others to shoot at them. And if you do care to shoot at them, they've been brilliant enough, all of them, to be able to wash it off, water off a duck's back. That's fine. Greg knows his opinions are... on occasions, people go, really? Is that really what you think? But the same thing is said for Ron at the other end of the scale by similar people. We have said, and I will say it again and again, this is the place, the Twitter Spaces is the place for you to have your opinion and to say it, whatever you think. Now, regulars, such as, for example, Rich and Greg, because Greg comes on a lot, and Alan and John and a whole host of people, they all know the thing I like nothing more is somebody coming on and disagreeing with me. And it's that's fine. Come on and say something different. I've got no problem with that. And just come on and do it. If you are so het up at that somebody else has a different opinion to you, be it Ron or be it Wendover or anybody else involved in the whole thing, give it a skip. Just don't worry about it for a bit, okay? It's fine. Do some people come on and say the same point and the same thing about the same person? Yeah, on occasions. What are you expecting them to come on and do? If you know what they're going to do, maybe just forward wind 5 minutes. The whole idea is it is a barometer of all the Watford fans, but of course it's dominated by those people who are happy to come on and actually talk about it. We've got the five words and we've got the long forms so that anybody else who doesn't want to talk, because not everybody does, and we don't want to force anybody into doing that, they can come on and say it, and I make sure that I read all of those out every single time at the end of the show. Forward wind to the last 20 minutes, hear what everybody else says if that's what interests you. But I've got no problem with him coming on and saying whatever, because we'll have a chat about it. That's fine.
Greg, funnily enough, asks a question on here, which is nothing to do with football.
Is it about my sofa? In which case, Greg, go on.
Not about your sofa. It's why do hands go crinkly in the bath and swimming pool? I did hear once it's an evolutionary thing so you can grip with wet hands.
I think.
I remember reading once. Is that right? Have we nailed that one? Okay.
I was just going to turn around and say, no, ours don't. That's just you, Greg. Just making paranoid. That was all I was
doing. Yeah, no, it's just you, Greg. Yeah.
That only happens when you sat on the sofa too long watching TV. Oh, no.
There you go. That's exactly what it is. Paul Fiander Turner. This is a two comments on the same question, effectively. Nice. Paul Fiander Turner, should there be a Palachi Mogi? And then Ed J at Somerset Hornet says, how is it possible for us to have spent £4 million on Mogi and co, but not to have signed an influx of players? Did it all go on shifting players out, or is it all lining pockets? I don't know the answer to that, but when I saw that we had the fourth highest agents' fees in the entire division, I think I'm right in saying this, the top three being the parachute teams from last season, or the relegated teams last season, and you see us finishing around about the 14th or 15th place, you do have to wonder what the fuck is going on. Does anyone know? Can anyone make sense of it?
I can. In fact, I have a spreadsheet. And we'll share this on the Twitter nonsense and stuff. There we go. Where are we, window? There we go. Here we are, Watford, down the bottom. And yeah, £4,693,267. The timing of this goes from, unlike all the accounts, which go on in a different time, this goes from February to February. So bearing in mind our accounts normally end July to June, it doesn't quite marry up with this, but this is just a snapshot. They don't do it over a season. They do it from February to February. It's a bit inexplicable. So What it gives is, and this is available on the FA website, and they do it for all the various seasons, and we are indeed in fourth place. And if we take a look at that, just based on the biggest at the top there is Leeds United on 13 million. So they have conducted £13 million worth. This is their net total paid to intermediaries. Now, there is a suggestion that this is stuff that's going to players that would go. This is net payments being paid to intermediaries by the club. That's important, okay? And Watford there, as you can see, are in fourth place there. Now, what I've done is when this comes out, when you go to the FA link, you'll see that there are two PDF files, okay, which is just a picture display format. Now, one of them gives you the total number, the figure here in column D, if you take a look at it. The other one is talking about the number of transactions and the breakdown of transactions. So let's just quickly look at that one, which is going to be on the second tab of the Excel spreadsheet that I'll put in there. We have Dan Gosling, who had a contract cancelled. Now, if you remember, Dan had his contract cancelled with about 3 months to go because he got injured before the World Cup. A couple of months, he was never coming back to fitness, and they cancelled his contract. Maybe he had a coaching opportunity. Maybe it was something else. I don't know. But because of this, at some point, they have decided to make a payment to Mr. David Hodgson, who is the agent there, and he is representing the player. Now, the reason I'm going through that one, it's pretty inexplicable. His contract was ending at the end of that season anyway. They could have just left him on the books, and what would they have been paying the agent? Absolutely nada. Instead, they brought him in, paid him a fee in order to cancel the thing. Okay, we were playing a straight bat for Dan. Fair enough, fine, bit daft, but there we go. We then go on to James Morris.
Now, I say why that is a bit odd, because I don't suppose his wages were particularly high, were they? I would argue, and I don't know the figures, but we probably ended up spending more doing that than we did just eking out his contract.
We would have done, because we wouldn't, but it would have been the same amount, roughly. It would have just been, unless they turned around and said, we'll pay you 4 months for five. But who's going to do that? You're just going to go, no, just pay me up the contract. Now, the important one is here, James Morris, and see what that says there. Updated contract. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if we remember, they announced that James Morris had a contract extension. That was actually announced, and it's got the name of his agent, which is CAA Base Limited. And you can see that they were representing both the club and the player. So this is the agent being paid an amount. We don't know how much per transaction, but let's just go through and have a look at these. Rhys Healy, new registration. That's because he went off to Huddersfield, not because we signed him. Either went off or the original signature, either way. Tom Ince, permanent transfer in. Miles Roberts, youth team and reserve team goalkeeper, updated contract. So far, not a lot of cash being spent. Now, here's where the interesting things become for me. William Troostekong, permanent transfer out. Agent is Arno Byatt.
Arno Byatt.
Which is
that Moji's real name? Arno.
Which is, yes.
Or is that his brother?
His brother is Mehdi. This is Arno Moji Byatt. And he was representing the former club. This is us selling and him representing us. So when we've sold him, he is acting on our behalf. My question is, we have had Ben Manga, we've had Cristiano Giretta, and now we have Nani. And I think this probably predated Nani, so that's fine. But why do we have an agent formulating this when we've got technical directors to do this? Why are we paying Moji Byatt to do this? Add to that, at Parlacci Gino, and we asked the question, Moji Byatt, what the fuck? And the answer was, he's just another agent. And if we look at this list, you can see he is one of a number of agents. And that's really great. Until we see permanent transfer out, we come down to where we see Ismaila Sarr, permanent transfer out, Arno Byatt, former club. We want to sell someone, comes to Moji. So why are we paying somebody out to pay that? Now look at the other names on there, right? They are not, okay, you've got Emmanuel Dennis, but that's a loan fee. Oh, fine, okay. You've got Jeremy Ngakia on there as an updated contract. This is where everybody came back and went, hold on, he clearly has extended his contract. We'd heard about it in The Athletic from Adam Leventhal, and this has now announced that there is an updated contract, which is exactly the same terminology you'll see there for Jeremy Ngakia as it is for Dan Backman, as it is for Ryan Andrews, and as I mentioned earlier on, as it was for James Morris when those contract extensions have gone on. Now, here's an interesting thing. There are 20 transactions there, okay? This is me going into the detail in a ridiculous level, but the number of transactions that we have put in, so to speak, we've done 20 transactions as opposed to Southampton, who did 33. What I've done is taken the total amount of the net paid to intermediaries and divided it by the total number of transactions so that we get a price on average fee per transaction. Now, bearing in mind how many of the other deals were really quite small, okay, you would imagine this to be quite low. But actually, we go up from fourth to third, right? £24,000, 663 pence on average per deal. And because of those ones involving Miles Roberts, James Morris, Ryan Andrews isn't going to be on a huge amount of money. These are significant amounts, which could have been a lion's share in the money going out. Now, we've already heard from Truce de Kong via, again, Andrew French and the Watford Observer, that effectively Moji Bayat rang him and told him, oh, by the way, you're going out. This was something that was passed over to the club or from the club to him to go and do. And the question's got to be, why aren't the club doing this and saving themselves a hell of a lot of money? Because we're seeing money come out of the club into the hands of agents here when they simply don't need to. Look how many times in the representing club and former club, he also represented the club for bringing Emmanuel Dennis in as well. But the real two that are important there, because they were big money moves, and in the case of William Truce de Kong, quite contentious, he's representing us rather than the player, but we're giving him money to do something, which seems peculiar. And it seems at a peculiar amount per transaction when we've only done 20, when other people have done significantly less. And it's the fact that we are fourth with so few transactions that makes me somewhat, somewhat concerned. Just that,
but Southampton have done 13 more transactions than us, but spent 400,000, was it less? I didn't quite catch it.
No, they have spent more, but they've done so many more transactions that the average per transaction is a significantly lower figure. So it's the point being is the fact that we've got 20, of which I would probably say maybe half are relatively small deals. They're people like Jack Greaves, et cetera. Now, I'm not knocking those guys as players, but they are early contracts. They're not going to be getting the real weight of that $4.6 million that's going out. Arno Bayat, who was asked, what is he? No, he's just another agent. Yet that other agent was sitting between Gino Pozzo and Scott Duxbury away at Millwall and is concluding the deals where we sell big. That would be a question that if we were to have that again, I would just want to be having an understanding of it as much as possible. People are aggravated about, for example, Ngakia. Greg's point was, hold on, the club have got to be able to do certain things without having to flag everything. And that's an absolutely reasonable point to say. They couldn't be not doing something for whatever reason before telling us. But at some point, an opportunity to sit down and an opportunity to have some level of transparency, because this stuff is out there. This isn't going in and rifling through files at midnight in the training ground. This stuff is on the FAE's website. So that's the average piece there. Those are the numbers. How come we are spending so much? And that's before we even get on to whether or not we decide that what we've got is good. This is players that we have sold. Surely if we are selling those players, we want to maximize the profit for the club. We should not be utilizing external third parties to sell that player. Ismail Assar, you're telling me that without going to Arno Bayat, Marseille weren't going to come in for him? You're going to say the same thing about William Truce de Kong? It's all very odd. There may be absolute reasons and stories behind it, and we might wait and see to find out what they are.
That thing that you've just done there, there's no reason why that can't be cut out and put on Twitter. I think a lot of people would want to see that. I think people would want to see that. No, the recording of what you've just explained as a video. Oh. Because I think a lot of people would like to see what you've just explained visually as well as audio.
We can do that. We can do that.
I think that's something.
The question is why it's cost us $4,693,000 to do 20 transactions. Now, the bigger the deals, I can understand why the big deals are going to cost you more. But we haven't got loads and loads of big deals. That's my point. So my question is, are bigger deals really big? And the averages are taken down by the small deals. But Ipswich did 20 transactions, 1.2 million, right? Cardiff did 30 transactions, 1.39 million. If we've got to deal with agents, surely we want to make sure that the club retain as much of the acquired or sold assets as we possibly can. It's got to be the betterment of the club.
I think I'm going to draw a line under that, because I think we need to let people see that and comment on that. I think that's really important. Our next point comes in from Expat Hornet. How has finding strikers that can score 10 goals a season become so difficult for Watford? A decade ago, we had Deeney, Vidra and Ighalo banging them in. Even players with decent all-round skills, holding up the ball, control, heading, shooting, seem to be a distant memory. I agree with this comment 100%. Let's go to Carlos. How has finding strikers that can score 10 goals a season become so difficult for Watford?
It's recruitment, isn't it? It's the same root analysis that we're just shit at finding players at the moment.
Or is it because Mogi's going, don't buy these players, buy these ones?
That's it. And that's probably, you know, we're obviously on a track to bring in players. I know we've signed the two lads for next season, two African lads. Who knows what they're going to be like? Nobody knows. Are they going to be ready for the championship? Jury's out. Don't know. I think what we don't sign anymore is ready-made players for the division that we're in. And we recently saw somebody like Danny Graham come back to the club, ready-made for the division. Troy Deeney, to a certain degree, was ready-made. I know we played him on the wing to start with, went on to do great things. I think we're trying to sign prospects for financial gain further down the line currently, rather than players that are ready to go.
What do you think, Peter?
I think there's a dearth of quality. If you go back to the 90s, I know this is, I'm going off at a tangent here, believe me, right? Brazil, who were always known for generating these wonderful Zico or Rivelino, these wonderfully technical players. The success of Gilberto Silva at Arsenal as a stopper basically demonstrated that they got top dollar for him, and the Brazilian academies decided, oh, wow, what Europeans really want is large, powerful, physical midfielders. Brazilian football went to shit in a handcart, basically. It was all over the place. It wasn't what it was doing. It took them about 5-6 years to go, oh, Christ, that's the wrong direction. Stick it in reverse, go back. And now we've got, with Robinho came over. He was nothing great, but he was the best thing that Brazil had got at the time. Forward wind, and they're producing players like Neymar. But all of these players ended up playing in a 4-2-3-1. And everybody wanted to be in the three. They didn't want to be the one with his back to goal. They wanted to be Neymar. They wanted to be, crikey, what was his name? He used to play for Liverpool and came back and then went to Villa and died. Yeah, for me. They wanted to be these kind of technical players. So suddenly, and you see it now in football, how many people are playing 4-2-3-1? How many of those players playing with their back to goal are they not? They're not. They are the people who hold it up and play it off. It's the reason why Haaland was such a steal at 63 million, because he's big and he can score goals. And they thought, if we can get him to play with his back to goal as well, which they haven't really, remind you of anybody, I know, then fine, but he can play that. But there aren't that many even in the Premiership. Look at playing Southampton on Saturday. Here's an ex-Premiership team. And what? Shea Adams, would he have got past Ighalo, Vidra? Not in a month of Sundays. There's been a dearth of it universally. It's not just Brazil, but it's almost like people start generating these number 10s, these attacking midfielders became the kind of, that's where the money is. And look who we've signed lots of.
That would be true, though, if nobody was scoring goals, would it not? Other teams, I think what this question was, we've had our Deeneys, our Ighalos and our whatevers, Vidras, but we just don't seem to be able to sign anyone that can score goals anymore. That was the original point. But other teams are scoring goals. Why are Watford not buying players that can score goals? Your point there was, no, there aren't any actual goal scorers anymore. No one wants to play with their back to goal. Everyone wants to be a number 10.
No, I'm saying the striking position, which is what we were talking about, because we talked about Odion, it talked about Vidra, who would make a run in behind, and obviously Troy, who would drop into a number 10 position, but then also move forward. So the game has evolved and changed, and therefore people are looking for goals to come from the Asprias, the Chakvetadzes, the Roberto Pereiras, the Will Hughes when he played in that particular role. That's the sort of area where people are looking to get these creative goals from. If you look at Fulham, for example, the number of goals that their forward scores, it's Jimenez has gone through an absolute kind of drought for a long amount of time, because the game he's played has changed, and you can argue that he's gone off the boil since he obviously had that head knock, etc. Personally, I just think it's retribution from wearing a mask at the semi-final, but there we go. would really Everton have spent 30 million euros on Beto from Udinese? He wasn't pulling up really trees beforehand, and he certainly isn't since he's gone there. I think the game has evolved so that it needs to come from those second line forwards, look at those, look at Sadio Mane, look at Salah, either side of, yes, Roberto Firmino was a for me, fantastic player because he could actually get in on the goals, but he wasn't the one getting kind of 50 goals a season. That was Salah. That was the guy he was there to feed in. It's almost like the centre forward has become an advanced fulcrum, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. We'll take another couple of these and then we'll go into another thing. There was one from, it's a food one. And I know we do like a food one.
Here we go.
This comes from Emma underscore WFC. Tin of beans cold, yes or no? Now, you know Emma, my thoughts on beans.
Sort your life out if you're having cold beans.
Have you ever succumbed to cold beans out of a tin or?
Emma, have you got no means of cooking these beans?
Yeah, just leave them in the tin. Stick
them
in the pan.
Put them in the microwave.
This is someone who admitted to being addicted to mushy peas.
People that eat cold beans are trying to have bubble baths on Sundays.
And that's true.
That's what it's for.
Are we suspecting that Emma is simply hiding her chronic flatulence by this question?
Yeah.
She's hiding in plain sight. That's what
she's having a jacuzzi. She hasn't got a jacuzzi at home, so she's looking for other means.
And in Emma, in case you're wondering, no, we do not approve of your cold beans activity.
No, I don't approve of them. They come off of my breakfast. This is why I can't use the app for breakfast.
You don't like anything with any form of liquid or fluid or sauce on your plate. So far, we know you don't like beans. They come in a sauce. You don't like gravy. Lunch. That's a sauce. And you
it's a dry
don't,
breakfast.
He doesn't like custard either.
I do not like custard. No. Have you got a spreadsheet of my likes and dislikes?
It's called arid and dry places. It's got Arizona and then it's got Justin's food plate.
Yeah, absolutely. You can brighten these things up with ketchup and stuff, but let's not get involved in that because then we'll start talking about Chinese with mayonnaise on it again and then that resentment down the bunker when I bring it up. So we'll have one more of these, I think, and then we'll move on to something else. Louis, this is a good quick philosophy corner again, I think. What is one thing from this season you'd like to take forward into next season? And what's one thing from this season you don't want to see us do next season? Whoever wants to start with that one, you're welcome to start. Oh, lots of beard scratching and looking up to the sky here. No. Well done, Louis. You flummoxed us. Well done, sir.
Haven't they? I was pondering on what kind of little indent we can create for Philosophy Corner.
Philosophy Corner, where the wise men meet. We'll question everything from our heads to our feet.
For me, what would I like to see us take in to next season? I would like to see us take in all of the elements around Tom Cleverley. Now, I know we have not won in 5 games. I know he has won 1 game in 6 games, which is indeed a stat, as was pointed out by Ron. It's not to be argued with. It's true. But the fact that he has played football on the front foot, the fact that he has created an environment where on Saturday, even with everybody being gutted that we'd lost that game 1-0, people were coming on with the clear-sightedness to turn around and say, I think he's doing well enough that other people might come and nick him. We might need to make sure we do that. I think that's really good. And I think he's done well. When we had started, you know, this season a little bit positively, people were feeling like everything was a little bit better, but I don't think it compares to now. Even with these draws, even with the losses, I think he's done really well. What do I not want to see? I do not want to see us being fourth in the agent fees figure next season. I would like us to be utilizing the academy. I would like to see us bringing through players from either less scouted leagues or countries and or from the lower leagues if possible, along with a smattering of foreign players as well from maybe well-known leagues or Premier League loans, whichever. But if we're going to do it, let's stop throwing money out of the club. Let's try and keep that cash inside because we haven't got that much to hemorrhage anymore.
Carlos.
Yeah. I completely concur with the Tom Cleverley thing I said on the vlog after Saturday's game. Just give him the job. For me, give him the job, let him have a go, back him in the transfer market.
I just want to just interject on that point because, yeah, give him the job. But my concern is you give him the job and he isn't performing to the standards that the Pozzos or whoever think he's not performing to. He's not likely to then go, oh, I'll go back to my job then with the under-21s or whatever it is. He's out of the club. He's gone. I think I'd like Tom Cleverley. I'd like him to stay in Watford. And I think if you say to him at the end of the season, thanks very much, you've done a wonderful job there, whatever, back to where you were. And then maybe in a few seasons, you might be ready.
He's had a taste now. he's had a taste, and he probably feels that he's in his own heart, his own head, that he's ready for an opportunity. And like we've just said, there's a potential that we do that and we try and keep him at the club and somebody comes in and swipes him. And again, we're watching a manager that we had in the palm of our hands go on to be successful at another club.
When I look at people going, let's get Scott Parker in, you think, why would you swap Tom Cleverley for Scott Parker? Why wouldn't you just stick with Tom Cleverley?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm with you completely, but I just think that, you know what these owners are like? They'll find something against him that they don't like and go, the corner flag post will come up. We'd like to thank Tom for his, you just know they're not going to go, and he's now going back to where he was. It'll be, you're out, son. You're out on your ears.
What would I not want to take in to next season? I think is head injuries. I'm going to give those a miss.
This is for you personally, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. For me, next season, I'd like to take in the bunker before games and grow that. I'd like that to continue. I'd like that to be something that is more open to more people. Please do come down the bunker before a game because it's great. It's really good, especially on a nice sunny day. On a day when the weather's clement and the bunker is open before a game, it's absolutely wonderful. So I'd like to carry that in to next season. And by the way, even in the last game, I met Oz from New Zealand, which is a bit odd. Oz from New Zealand.
I know. Not really thought that through, has he?
There's a conundrum in there somewhere, isn't there?
But he just missed. No, I liked Oz a lot.
Next week, we'll be meeting Kiwi from Sydney. But there's the people that just come down and go, oh, hello, mate. I thought I might meet you down here. I'm so-and-so. I listen. I sometimes call in. Nice to meet you. Just think, God, and there's just, I don't know, 50 people now that we regularly talk to before a game. Absolutely wonderful. So, yeah, I'd like to keep that. And one thing I'd get rid of is the Mr. Q £10,000 centre spot challenge, which is just an absolute waste of everybody's time, is it not? I don't think anyone's made it anywhere near the centre spot. It's just terrible. So just
here is how to make that both fun and interesting. You go and get, like before the FA Cup, we had all of the they have the thing that covers the centre spot.
We've spoken about this. Yeah,
bring the target out. If you're in there, I don't know, £1,000. And if you hit the centre spot, then it's, yeah, £10,000. And you go out so that if somebody gets it into the centre circle, which let's face it, has happened about twice, they might win a couple of £100. That brings a bit of jeopardy, a bit of excitement. Right.
I think it's the all or nothingness of it that's shit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bit like the lottery because some of the lottery prizes, they go, oh, it's a rollover this week. It's 250 million. You think, well, why don't you just make it like 10 million? But then if you got five balls, then it was a bigger prize, or four balls. I remember when you got four balls years ago, it was like 250 quid. Now it's like a tenner or something. Why is it all this all or nothingness? Let's spread it out a bit more.
Four balls, I'd go to the doctors.
There you go. Philosophy Corner. What's going on with all this all or nothingness? Small Faces tracks are available. Yes, it's all right.
It's a great song.
Hi, this is Jay Demerit, and you're listening to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. I want to get onto something else. I want to get onto Keep or Bin, which is something that we did last season. But the thing that I put out was, we'll be doing the Keep or Bin segment of our podcast at the end of the season. Let's just do it now. But it will be interesting to see what you think. So I've thrown it out to Twitter or X. Importantly, though, binary choice, no nuanced discussions. So none of this sort of, well, you know, I mean, yes, I'd like to keep him, but, you know, you have to consider this, that, and the other. No. It's Keep or Bin. Okay. That's it. Let's keep it. And we'll try and keep it nice and quick as well.
We're going for a speed round.
Yeah, have some fluid there, Peter, before we start this.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, and I think this is in numerical order of squad as well, by the way. So we begin with Danny Backman. What I'll also do as well is I'll tell you what X thought and what they said, okay? And I suspect...
Okay. We're do we just jump
we've,
in?
We've got to just jump in. We can't hear what X says and be influenced. We must surely give you our opinion.
We must just jump in.
And then I will tell you what X said. Yeah. So let's start then with Daniel Backman. Keep or bin, Carlos?
Bin.
Peter?
Bin.
I say bin, and so did X. 62% of X said bin, 38% said keep. Number two. Who's number two, Carlos?
What?
Squad number. Squad number two.
Oh, I
know who that is.
No.
That's Jeremy Ngakia. The reason you don't is you never see him play. Yeah, that's why. Okay. Bin. Jeremy Ngakia, Carlos. Keep or bin?
Bin.
Peter?
Keep.
Ooh.
No, that was for an explosion in Florida. No, you can't. He's got a new contract, but bin.
Yeah, I say bin. X, 80%, 80% of X said bin. Number three, Francisco Sierra Alta. Carlos, keep or bin?
Keep.
Peter?
Keep.
Yeah, I agree. And 76% of X did the same. Wesley Hoot, number four. Carlos, keep or bin?
Keep.
Peter?
Bin.
Oh.
Bin Hoot. See, this is where I want the nuanced discussion now. Okay.
No, we're not allowed.
I know. I've shot myself in the foot, haven't I? All right. Brief sentence as to why you've said bin, Peter.
I think we need the money, and he is one of the most saleable assets. He is also one of the key earners. It's financial only. It's nothing to do with what he's done this season, even with the occasional own goal and here you go, Ipswich score the winner. No, I like him a lot, like his wife even more, but no, it's bin for me.
Okay, I say keep, and so do X, incidentally, 99% of X.
Wow. I think quite right. I'm just being kind of financially prudent.
Financially
prudent. No, yeah, but see, the thing with that, Peter, is there's no doubt Mogi will be involved in that, and then most of that money will go to
keep,
Mogi.
Keep. You have me at Mogi.
There you go. Okay, number five, Ryan Porteous. Keep or bin, Carlos?
Keep all day long. I'd build the team around him.
You'd build the team around Porteous?
Yeah.
Can we just clip that, Peter, for next season? Peter, Porteous, keep or bin?
Oh, keep.
It's hard, isn't it? I think this is a tough one.
Oh. No, you've got to keep him. Yeah.
Okay, very briefly then, why have you got to keep him?
Well, you don't have to keep him, obviously, but I just think in terms of attitude and what he actually brings, he's exactly what we need.
Can I apologise to everybody on Twitter who gave us a binary answer and us going, right, we're not going to do this. It's going to be a quick round. Yeah, okay. Oh, let's just talk
about it. I know, but he asked me a question.
No. I'm not going to do it with all of them, but I was interested why you thought we could build a team around Porteous. It's just bizarre. We'll just end up with everybody getting sent off.
Yeah, good. It's entertaining.
Peter, keep or bin Porteous?
Keep.
Okay, I'll go with keep as well, as did 95% of X, by the way. Number six now. Number six. Oh, yeah. Number six, Jamal Lewis. Oh, I'm feeling good. Jamal Lewis. Jamal Lewis.
Bin.
Keep or bin, Carlos? Oh, you said bin already.
Bin.
Okay, yeah. Peter.
Bin.
Bin. Well done. I actually fucked up a bit here by putting a third option in with fat thumbs. It just literally had the letter K, and 7% there went to the letter K. Let's add that on.
Well done, everybody. Well done. Well done.
Let's add that on to bin instead, because
about the internet, so you don't have to. Well done, everyone.
I think it's actually 92% there. Well done. We come on to number seven now. Tom Ince, keep or bin, Carlos?
Bin.
Peter?
Bin.
Yeah, it's got to be bin, isn't it? 92% of X agreed with you. Interesting one now. Number eight, Jake Livermore. Keep or bin, Carlos?
Purely based on his age, bin.
Peter?
Keep.
I say bin as well, Carl. So we go to X for a bit of a... Well, do we need a tiebreaker now? Because you and I said bin. X said keep. 62% said keep. I think they may have forgotten how old he is.
I think you've got to keep some experience. That's why. Because it's a squad
game. Has he played under Cleverley though? Not really. Has he played under Cleverley at all?
He has. No. Not for a lot, but he has done. I think what he's done and how he has been all the way through the season has warranted has warranted it. Personally, I think he could still bring us something. I'm not saying he's going to be playing regularly, but if you're going to bring somebody on for the last 20 minutes to shore it up, he would be a great call. The problem has been all season is that we have taken him off with 20 minutes to go, and then on occasions it's gone to rat shit. I give you Leicester City away, for example.
Yeah, okay. I mean, if he's not going to get... If we're going to say keep Cleverley as head coach, it seems counterintuitive to keep Jake Livermore because he doesn't play him, but okay. Number nine, Rajovic. Carlos, keep or bin?
Keep.
Okay. Peter?
It's a tricky one. I'm going to say keep, but bring in Troy Deeney or somebody to work with him.
Yeah.
Although he has shown signs of improvement recently.
It's a caveat. I mean, he's our leading goal scorer. Very, very difficult.
Did you see Andrew French did? And I had thought about it. And Andrew French, God damn you, getting there with your creativity and thinking about it before me. He did a map of his goals. And it was basically, it was like the 6-yard box. And there was like one from about 8 yards out. And don't get me wrong, that's where he's going to operate. We all know that. That's not having a go at him. But I would love to see somebody who, you know, if he does score 20 goals and if you stretched out the distance of all of those goals, would at least make it to the halfway line with an opportunity to win the Mr. Q £10,000.
Okay. Well, X agreed with you. 78% said keep. Number 11, Ishmael Kone.
Keep.
Okay, you seem very, very certain of that because you said it four times or three times. Peter?
Keep.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about him at the beginning of the season. I think
starting to like him more and more the more I see him.
Yeah, I am. He can have those days, though, where he's anonymous.
Yep.
He can. Well, 94% of people said keep, so yeah. Number 12. Who's number 12, Carlos, in the squad?
Keep.
Well, again, you haven't seen him for a while.
Ken
Semmer.
Ken Semmer. Of course he is.
Yeah. He seems to be made of biscuits this season. Keep or bin?
Yeah, keep, because I think I'll go with Peter on what he said about... who did you say it about? I can't even fucking remember now. It was that interesting. I think in terms of experience, keep.
Oh, Livermore.
Keep him. Yeah, Jake, yeah. Keep him.
Peter?
Keep. You've got to get him fit. That's the only question. You get him fit and you've got your, cheerio, Jamal. Thank you. Off you go. That saves us 50 grand a week or whatever stupid amount he is on. I don't know what percentage, but he's on 50 grand a week at Newcastle. So if we're playing half of that, it's 25 grand saved. That's happy days. And he can do a job in the Championship as a left wing back, which is what looks like being quite commonly the situation under Tom if it carries on. My God, that was more than binary. Sorry, I'll shut up.
Well, no, it's just King Ken for me is one of those players that I think we all sort of go, oh, yeah, you know, Ken, he's a great player and that. But I wonder in 10 seasons' time, we'll actually remember a game where he's shone. I did a series of things a while back, which was, which game do you think of when you see, and it could be, you know, Troy Deeney or, you know, Ken Semmer. Which game will you think of when you see Ken Semmer? It'd be like, I remember Ken. He was a good player. I mean, you know, he could run up the wing quite a lot and, you know, he did the odd sort of whipping cross. And you're like, what game do I think of when I see Ken Semmer? I don't know. And he's been with us for what seems like fucking forever. So I'm a bit torn on this whole King Ken thing because I think he's just the best of a bad bunch some days. I don't know. I'm not sure what I think of Ken Semmer. I think it's time to say cheerio to Ken, controversially. However, 82% of X said keep. So maybe they want another injured player in the gym next season. I don't know. Go on.
What game would you think of, Carl? I know which game I'd think of.
Swansea this season.
Nice one. I'd say the Bournemouth 3-3. You remember that?
Real. Yeah.
We were wearing the green away. No, I think he, you're right. He's not somebody who has had an iconic moment. But if I turn around to you and said, Kevin Richardson, what game do you remember him from?
Yeah, but that was 1985, Pete.
I
can't remember yesterday.
But that was a time of many, many games where we were running all over. And the correct answer, by the way, is Man United. But anyway, it's...
If you said Ewan Roberts, I could say Man United, because I remember when we won 1-0 against Man United and Ewan Roberts scored, right?
But the problem with Ken isn't that he doesn't perform. It's that he has contributed as a 7 out of 10 in many, many, many games. That season under Ivic, under Vladimir Ivic, he basically took us up that first half of the season before we had, what's that? Can't read it.
Chelsea 4, Everton 0, and it's only 46 minutes gone.
So you're saying about Ken, like in the season under Ivic, but I still don't
look at the goals that Ryan has scored from him.
Does anybody remember at the beginning of this we were saying keep it brief?
I know.
It's just a Ken for me. Okay.
That's fine. Go on. Carry on.
Number 15 last season, we said bin. I'm pretty sure Matty Pollock.
Keep
or bin, Carlos.
Keep.
Peter.
Keep.
There's a player.
96% of X said that, but I mean, this time last season, I'm sure we all went nah. But he's obviously you know, improved this season, and he's come on a lot. Very, very good.
He went to Aberdeen, played in a 3, and look how good he's looking in a 3.
Well, yeah, this is true.
He was playing in Champions League qualifying games, wasn't he, when he was up there?
Number 16, I think, is possibly contender for player of the season. I don't want to put thoughts in your mind before we come to Georgie Chekvadadze. Carlos, keep or bin?
Keep.
And Peter?
Keep. Not my player of the season by a country mile.
Who is your player of the season?
Yeah, but I told us we were going to bin him off. For me, it's Wes Hoop. He's played more games than anybody else. He has been consistent. That's why. But getting back to Chekvadadze, loads of fun. Love him very, very, very much. Keep.
I totally agree, as do 97% of Twitter or X. Carlos, who is your player of the season?
I haven't got one, really. Do you know what? If he carries on doing what he's doing, I'm actually going to say Kone.
Oh, okay.
Few games. Yeah. Pete's looking at me as if to say, what the fuck?
Well, what he's doing at the moment is not starting because Tom's not got him in the starting lineup, but that's okay. That's fine. Can I change my vote from Hoot to Mrs. Hoot? Just wanted to make that sure.
Mrs. Hoot, she certainly can. Excellent. I don't think she's going to. I don't think she's going to be knocking on the door though. But you can try. Number 18, Yasser Asprilla. Carlos, keep or bin?
Keep. Yeah, I know. Pete's going to say bin because financially he's an asset and rah.
Pete's not going to say anything because he's still smarting from the Mrs. Hoot's not going to say anything. That's not nice.
Maybe she will. She might go to Wesley. Do you know what, Wes? It's been fun. But there's this podcaster I've got my eye on in Croxley. And if you don't mind, I'm going to go and knock on his door. That could happen.
Actually, can I change my mind for player of the season? Sorry, I've underestimated somebody.
Hang on. No, this goes back to the bio thing again, doesn't it? When we went, who's your favourite player so far? And he went, bio. And then he went, oh, no, I meant Hamza Chowdhury.
I'll say Kiembe instead.
That's good shell. Yeah, not bad. Not bad. Yeah. Not bad.
Not great tackler, but he progresses the ball at the moment. He's doing all right.
No, he does. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, who are we talking about? Oh, yeah. Mrs. Hoop.
Yes.
Carry on.
What about Yes. Number 18. Yes. A keep or bin, Peter. Tough, I think.
I'm going to say keep. He's not yet worth what he could be worth if we got the rest of the team sorted out, Mr. Pozzo.
90% of X agree with you to keep him. Yeah, I'm not. Okay, number 19 then. Vacuun Bio, the formerly mentioned Vacuun Bio. Carl's slapping his thigh in delight as I mention his name. Carlos, Vacuun Bio, keep or bin?
Bin.
Peter?
I'd say keep.
I'm saying bin. This was one of those that was, well, I say close. It's one of the closest ones, but 62% of people said keep. For me, he doesn't do enough. He just doesn't do it. He runs around and he looks all right and occasionally he scores a goal. But no, not for me. Bio, he can be binned. And I think, by the way, the two of us who said bin win. So sorry, Carl. Short-term memory is fucking terrible. Okay. Number 24, Tom Dele Bashiru. Keep or bin, Carlos?
Keep.
Peter?
Keep.
94% of X agreed with you. He's had a better season than I've seen previously, for sure. Like, he wasn't the first player to score for us against QPR in about 20 seconds or something. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels to me like he just needs to find his position and just try and hold it down.
I think he's done that under Tom, but he has played
under Tom. I agree
under Tom. He's done it, and but Tom's point about taking him off at half time was that he got a bit of a knock or what have you, but he'd also played every minute under Tom up until that point, which is why he looked a bit, you know, shattered.
Okay, now this next one. There was a private audio message put in our WhatsApp group the other day, which when I played it, Carl went, "Yeah, I've just been listening to that podcast, and I can't believe what you said about this player, Justin. Number 25, Emmanuel Dennis. Keep or bin, Carlos?
Keep.
Peter?
Keep.
Bin him off. Get rid of him. He just isn't doing it. He just frustrates me. You know, oh, he's talented, he's brilliant. Do something. 68% of X agreed with you for keep, but, you know, 32% agree with me. I just don't see it. I don't see it. I don't get it. I really don't. For me, it's just baffling as to why people rate him. It really is. Number 26, Ben Hamer. Keep or bin, Carlos?
I'm going to say keep, but I do think they need to bring in another keeper.
Peter?
Keep.
I reckon last season we probably said bin to Ben Hamer, but then he hadn't played half a season like he has this season. Do I think he's a good goalkeeper? Not particularly, but I think he's what we needed when Backman was having a bit of a wobble. Yeah, 70% of X agree with you to keep Ben Hamer. Number 37 in the squad is Matthias Martins. Carlos, keep or bin?
Bin.
Peter?
Bin.
64% of X agree with you. Bin. Yeah, he's one of the few sort of bins, actually. Another player that kind of looks as though he's got potential but doesn't want to show it.
In fairness and in mitigation for him, one, he's not asked to keep anyway. He's actually an Udinese loanee. But I don't think he has really recovered from, everybody heard that he got either a family or a friend passed away, and that he's fallen off a cliff at that point. So it could well be that his form in that respect is for understandable reasons. But as he is playing at the moment, I'm afraid it's been.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we do have that wonderful free kick against Southampton in the cup to remember him by, and a very flamboyant appearance. Number 39, Edo Kayembe, already Carlos' second choice for player of the season. Keep or bin, Carl?
100% him and his massive head should stay. So we're going to keep him.
His massive head. Peter, keep or bin?
Keep. I was going to say he and Bio have really turned it around from non-positive starts, but you two both went and binned Bio. So I'm now saying KMB is sitting alone in taking everybody's opinion and thoroughly, thoroughly improving it.
95% of X agree with you. Now, the thing is, when he went off to the African Cup of Nations, I think we all went, oh, please don't take him. Which, if you'd told us at the beginning of the season, we'd be thinking, he'd be going, really? Kayembe, you're going to miss him that much? Yeah, no, I think he's been all right this season. I'd definitely keep him. Number 42, James Morris. Keep or bin, Carlos?
Keep, but I'd like him to go out on loan and get some football.
Peter?
Keep.
73% of X agree with you to keep James Morris. We haven't seen a lot of him this season, have we, really? Morris, he seems to have played bits here and there. Number 45, the final one, Ryan Andrews. Keep or bin, Carlos?
Got to keep.
Well, he's holding aloft. Now, that's a match-worn, signed, yes, Andrew Shinner.
Yes.
And is it as smelly as Jake Livermore's, or... Is his personal hygiene slightly...
This one is stinkier. Now, I'm going to put that down to the fact that he runs around a lot more.
Right, okay.
Jake Livermore's just went somewhere, isn't he? He doesn't move a lot.
He stands in the middle of the pitch, kicking it around a bit.
Kicking it about,
Like a distributor cap in a car. Peter, Ryan Andrews, keep or bin?
Keep. His form has dropped off, but it's understandable. It's the end of his first season, and he's played far, far, far more football at first-team level than he suspected he would. Keep.
Well, yeah, and 97% of X agree with you as well. So there you go. That was keep or bin for the 23-24 season. Be interesting to see how many of those we decided to keep flourish.
How many did you say keep, Justin? Because I didn't get your vote on Ryan Andrews. And so far, you're binning pretty much everybody.
No, I'd keep Andrews, actually.
Good.
I'd keep Andrews. But I think he's going to be one of those ones that will end up playing far higher up within the next two or three seasons. He's going to get snapped up. Of all the players that have secret fucking deals done to extend their contract, it's not Jeremy Ngakia, it should be Ryan Andrews. But Yeah, no, I'd keep Ryan Andrews, definitely.
Well, he has had his contract extended.
Yeah, okay, but what I'm saying is that's great.
Yeah.
Don't fucking extend Jeremy Ngakia's, basically, is what I'm saying. Just let him go. There we go. That was Keep or Bin. Fantastic stuff. I suppose the other bit of news we ought to bring is about the big night out. We have penciled in a date somewhere, a venue that I think is massively suitable. I'm not going to say where it is yet in case we don't get it. But yeah, that is looking...
Royal Albert Hall.
Exactly. I was going to say Coliseum, actually, but you're right. The Royal Albert Hall. If you want a box, they're £125 each. No, no, it's not there. It's in Watford. And we're hoping to do it at the end of July, beginning of August. The penciled in date is the 3rd of August, which is just before the season starts. Once we know when it's actually booked in and it's all good to go, then we'll start thinking about what we're going to do. And we'll start letting you know about tickets as well. Demand could be high for the tickets. I don't know, but it could be. So get in quick if you want them when they're on sale. But yes, that does mean once that is booked in, we will have to think about writing a show, which could be interesting.
Already doing it. Already doing it. Things to share with you after this. That's fine.
I'm just going to wing it. That's all the same.
That's fine.
Well, you're going to be taking part in many quizzes, I suspect.
Basically, we're just going to buy you an enormous guinea pig costume and treat you as such. I think that's the way to do it.
Send me on my way. Excellent.
Absolutely.
Exactly that. Yeah. I was distracted a little bit off of Spaces the other night because someone sent me a picture of someone that looked like me. It's a chef called Jason K. Morse. And this guy, I mean, when I saw it, I went, Kinnell, that's me. And then I showed members of my family. He went, Dad, why are you wearing a chef's outfit? It's not me. I reached out to the guy and he agreed that we looked the same. So yeah, do look up Chef Morse on Instagram because I was trying to sort of do Spaces and at the same time message a guy in Denver going, hey, we look very similar. We follow each other on Instagram now. So I didn't hear all of Spaces.
What a beautiful love story we've just heard there.
It is, isn't it? It's fantastic. It is absolutely fantastic.
I am charging you, right? Are you listening, Justin? Carlos has done an excellent job as tourist ambassador to the US.
I know where this is going.
We brought in Vinny, we brought in Jack. Obviously, we have brought in the Jimmy Pesto twins of both Nick and Chris. And let's face it, their livers are still recovering. You have a looky likey in Denver. Here is your task. Convert him to following the Hornets. Get him over.
Okay.
And we need to get him cooking. There you go.
Yeah, he's a barbecue chef. We could get him doing some chefing.
He's definitely got to come over.
Exactly.
I know that you can't really have a barbecue in this country, though, because it's that one golden day where you go, hey, look, it looks all right. And everybody goes out and buys charcoal and you can smell it burning all over the neighborhood. And then they get put away again under those tarpaulins for the rest of the year. But yeah, no, I'll reach out to him and see if he'll... I wonder if he'll do a, hi, I'm Jason Morse and you're listening to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast.
I think he should. I'm looking forward to getting to the big night out and going, why's Justin over there doing all the barbecuing? I mean, that's a thing.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? If we could get him to do some barbecuing, the thing is though that we certainly can't finance that, so he'd have to do it under his own steam, I suspect. We have to convert into a Watford fan. We haven't got time. I'm saying 3 months. Probably haven't got time.
Do it.
Oh yeah, James DJ. So at Jay Ruse said, if Watford players were superheroes or villains, what powers would they have? Now I've got to say, before we get into this, I don't watch Marvel films. I know fuck all about superheroes and villains because I just don't like that sort of stuff. So I'm going to the man, first of all, who's wearing a Superman t-shirt, Mr. Remnant. What would their superpowers be if they were a superhero or villain? Well, I suggest you pick maybe two players rather than doing 1 to 24.
No, too late.
Don't mind.
Yes, we're going to play Keep or Bin for superheroes. I would suggest that that Jeremy Ngakia, he would be...
Biscuit Man.
No. Yes, made Glass Man. No. I would suggest that he is a superhero and Grass is his kryptonite because every time he goes on it, he breaks down. And of course, you know, Batman is far too near to Batman not to possibly enjoy. However, I would suggest with his rugged good looks and astonishing looking girlfriend, Wesley Hoot would definitely be the Bruce Wayne of everybody and would look remarkably good in a tuxedo.
Ooh, and you've thought about that far too much, Peter.
There you go. I'm looking at the person next to him wearing the tuxedo. She's very nice. I'm a big fan, Mrs. Hoot. Well done.
not a player, but Mogi Man would be the villain, I fear.
He's the villain, isn't he, Mogi Man?
Yeah. It writes itself, really. You don't have to think of too many reasons why Mogi's a villain. His superpower would be making our money disappear that could be going into our club, but instead it's lining his trousers.
Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's Uber. I mean, that's brilliant. I love him.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. There's one in from Paul Fiander Turner. One shirt, one sock, probably means one pair of socks, one short from the Pozzo era to create the best kit. I'd have to think back to what we've had.
Great question.
I mean, for me, shirt has to be 18, 19. That half black, half yellow thing was an abomination. This season's run over by a tractor, I'm not a fan of. The sunburst thing, pretty grim. Yeah. So I would say 18, 19 shirt. Myself, have we had red shorts under Pozzo? I don't think we have. Have we?
No, all been black, haven't they?
We've had a red away kit in. It was the had stake across the middle. I remember us.
Oh yes,
remember that was the Manuel Dennis at Nort.
Just you to remember the food item that was in the middle of it.
It's a fair cop, everybody. It was the game.
You could use those shorts.
I'm going to use those shorts and those socks, and I'm going to go with last year's kit. I like that one.
And a black and white one. This one.
Yeah, yeah. The and again, it's got steak. It's got everything I would want on it. But yeah, no. The 4-0 versus Luton shirt. That's how I'll remember that. But with red and red, because I am a fan. Sorry, I appreciate that some people will be upset about that. I would love
what
to see.
What colour socks are you going for? The red away socks.
I'm going for the red as well. Yellow, red, and red. The old traditional 80s look. That's me.
Was the 80s look black bands at the top of the socks with yellow stripes?
Yes, because it reversed it, because we used to have black with yellow and red stripes, and then when they went to red, they just basically inverted the red.
I remember
and the black.
A kit that I really liked. I think we only wore it once, and it might have been against Man United in the cup when we had yellow, yellow, yellow.
Yeah, I saw that the other day, because that it was an anniversary of it, and I watched that goal by
Buatza.
Hammer Buat. What a goal that was, by the way. Sort of an overheady, scissory type kick. Trying to do that at a semi-final against Man United.
And we also wore yellow shorts and yellow socks away at Sheffield Wednesday when we had the sunburst kit as well. For some reason, they decided that was one.
Yellow shorts, did we?
Yeah. I remember it being at Sheffield Wednesday.
Yellow, yeah.
I don't even want yellow shorts to come back. It's not great, I don't think. Something that really made me laugh was when we were talking to Adrian Mariappa. And you, Peter, you said to him, so you could have played for Jamaica or Fiji. Was it the 17-hour flight that put you off playing for Fiji?
Yeah, Peter, and he said, well, yeah.
I
mean, in fairness, if you're sitting there going, well, I can play for Fiji, which is a lovely tropical island and all of that in the South Pacific, or Jamaica with regular flights and, you know, you can get there in about 5 hours. I don't think Mr. Mariappa is wrong in going, hang on, I think I can wait a couple of weeks.
The whole sort of, oh, by the way, Fiji at home, you're like, oh, fuck me, that's literally as far away from where I live as possible. You're almost on the way home again by the time you get there, aren't you, Fiji? Fucking hell. That just made me laugh. I had to turn my mic off and have a quiet laugh to myself when you said that. I thought,
it was either that or when I kept calling Lloyd Doyley Lloydy by somehow combining his first and his surname to create a whole new third party that Lloyd was quite happy to ignore me about. Well done, Lloyd. Thank you very much.
It was the way he did it. So, Lloydy, what do you think? I'm like, he's just called him Lloydy twice now.
When we do these things, Justin sends me these notes going, stop calling him Lloydy. Very sorry, Justin.
It was a necessity that you stopped calling him Lloydy. And then I went ahead and told him that his nickname from my daughter was Lloydy Doyley. So it all came back round again.
Just a quick one was one of the questions, I can't remember now where it was, my apologies, but was the fact that the at your places seem to have stopped. Now we have obviously because
it was Brian Edwards.
Thank you, Brian.
The fan forums at your place events died a death. My suggestion for the next themed forum should be Cazzo di Laveretio, Gino, which I think is tell the damn truth, Gino, in Italian.
I think it is. The at your place that, yes, we do keep following up on this and going, when's the next one? Where's the next one? What's it going to be about? I do know that the next one planned was for the academy to go forward and give bit. Now I think, and I went, "Your God, yes, absolutely. That's important," because we discuss the academy pretty regularly, I would suggest, on Spaces, with the financial situation. And we're talking about, you know, trying to replace all the players that Justin is binning off quite regularly, it would appear. talking about where the production line might come from would be very, very important. And if you think about it, obviously, that was, I think it's still planned from what I can tell. But obviously with Tom stepping up from under-18s coach, with Jimmy Gilligan stepping up from his role into covering that, I think it's having to kind of take a little bit of a backseat. But my understanding is they're still looking to try to do something, shall we say, this side of the close season, or kind of, you know, even if it's in the middle, but to do it before the summer is certainly the hope and the intention, I believe. So wait and watch for this space. But no. Nobody's letting anybody get away with not doing anything or stopping it stone dead. There were a couple which, as we know, talked about the commercials. It talked about the stadium experience, the match day experience, and that kicked off a whole load of other stuff that obviously we are continually chasing to try to make sure. But I think there's been some improvements in the way people have been handled in that. I think getting the club and the fans in front of one another, personally, I don't see bad things coming from that. I think it's a good thing to have that dialogue. We will just keep chasing to try to get the next one, but it's fully understandable why, you know, looking to try to get one done, why that suddenly would have gone on the back burner or just been logistically difficult to get in at this moment. Wouldn't be at all surprised if something is announced very shortly. So watch this space.
Well, if it does get cancelled, let's have Meet the Agent. That's what I say. That one will be oversubscribed by several hundred times, I expect. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Let's let Carl get some dinner. Thank you very much for listening once again to Do Not Scratch Your Eyes. We will see you down the bunker when we face Hull over the weekend. Until then, see you later. Yawns.
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 It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.